Lord, we commit this meeting to you.
Amen.
And we freshly commit ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, with a new consecration for today.
Amen.
Amen.
We lay our hands on your dear head.
Amen. Amen.
You are the only absolute one in this universe.
Amen.
Lord, we depend on you wholly.
Amen.
Lord, what we can say or do is so limited.
Amen.
You alone is the Almighty.
Amen.
You alone are the omnipresent.
Amen.
Amen.
You alone is our God and our Lord.
Amen.
And you're also the living spirit.
Amen.
In us and upon us.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we trust in you to work and move.
Amen.
In our hearts and in our spirit.
Amen.
That we can rise up to meet your need today.
Amen.
We want to be that people.
Amen.
We want to be those witnesses of yours.
Amen.
Lord, to testify you.
Amen.
Lord, to impart you into others.
Amen.
Lord, really to fulfill your heart's desire.
Amen.
Lord, to meet your own need.
Amen.
Be with us this morning, we pray again.
Amen.
Both the speaking and the hearing.
Amen.
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 Well, saints, we continue this morning with our fellowship on this line or this series on the small groups. In fact, I trust that this outline is somehow in your hands on lesson 9 called the increase and multiplication of groups. This would be the last of the series and a very, very wonderful concluding outline. Now, whether we will finish this outline or not, we will see how the Lord leads. But before we get into that, this outline, I still like to take a little time to share the burden in my heart, which I believe is the Lord's burden in these days, not only for you in Northern California, but for all the saints, all the churches in his recovery. So we just sang this wonderful hymn, 925. I hope that these hymns that we've been singing in these sessions will not be just sung, you know, in this meeting, but you will sing them in your daily life and even in your small group. To let the hymns speak to us, let these hymns stir us up. Let these hymns inspire us, not only with its contents, but with its charge. In this one, the burden is concerning outreach again, outreach of this glorious gospel. But the emphasis here is in the second line. This outreach is the flow of life within. The flow of life within. Grant us, Lord, therefore, the chorus says, the living outflow. May thy life through us be seen, through us as thy living vessels. You know, I believe last time or two times ago, we sang this other hymn, under this heading on preaching of the gospel in our hymnal. This old hymn, is your life a channel of blessing? You remember that? Have you sung that hymn again? Don't say it's an old hymn, you know, so basic. Please don't say that. In fact, we are short of this. We may have all the high peak. We have so much an abundance of revelation and so on. But in this matter, I certainly would take the lead to confess we have restricted the Lord. We have not been as faithful as we should be. So in that song, the main word is channel. Are we a channel? Here, that song, what it says here in this hymn we sang this morning, through us as thy living vessels. Channels are for flowing, right, of water. And vessels, it depends how you use it. Blood vessels are channels of blood. We call them vessels. So likewise, it is for flowing. Life, the organic flowing of certain life essence, life element, to quicken people from within, to regenerate them, to impart life to them. So in verse 2, it is by the life convincing that people may believe. And of course, there's the thought here that we need to live the gospel. We need to live the truths. We need to demonstrate the life and power of these glorious things to convince others. You know, what good is it that we preach, but we don't live what we preach? But then it continues, it is by life imparting. Yes, we give away Bibles. Yes, we preach the word. Those are the means that we preach this gospel. But essentially, brothers and sisters, we are here to impart life. Look at Paul's words about himself. One in 1 Corinthians, he said, you have 10,000 teachers, but you do not have many fathers. I, Paul, in the gospel, have begotten you. So do you see, in Paul's mind, it is entirely something of life, something organic. Yes, he was the gospel, the apostle. Yes, he was there preaching, arguing, debating, proclaiming, you know, the word of God. But in terms of those who would receive his word and believe in to Christ, Paul was there to generate, to beget, to make children, spiritual children of Gentiles. Am I right? So he was there essentially imparting life. To give life. Brothers, that's what we are here to do. You know, what are we doing in the church life? Not only to enjoy this life, which we must do, but what we're here to impart that life. The off-use metaphor of a hose, you know, a water hose, has two ends. Am I right? One is attached to the spigot. The other is to whatever you use that water for, to water the plants, to wash your car, I don't know. But it has two ends. If it has only one end, that's not a hose. That's not a hose. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, we are hoses of God? We have two ends open. One end is to be permanently, solidly, I hope, attached to Christ, the source of the living water, right? The fountain itself. But don't forget, and we drink that water. We enjoy that living water for thirst quenching, am I right? for life supply. But don't forget we have another end. That end is to give out, to pass on, to impart that very life we have received and are enjoying. And if you pluck that end, after a while, this host cannot receive more water. You follow me? No wonder some of us have actually fallen into a kind of Christian life that is bottled up, that is going nowhere, that is just always taking, taking, receiving, and receiving. No wonder that there is not only a kind of constipation, sorry for the word, you are just dead. You are not flowing. God gives grace to us. It is like Paul said, it is to me for you. Right there is the host. Right there is the host. Paul was a master host, right? It is to him, because he is that channel. He is that selected and appointed vessel of God. But he knows very well that all that revelation is not just for him to enjoy. It's for him to share. It's for him to pass on and give out. And if he does not do that, I believe that revelation will stop. You know, saints, sometimes in the church life, we just feel it stopped. It's going nowhere. All these things, we just keep coming. We go to conferences. We read. We enjoy. But it's not going anywhere. God does not. That's not what God wants. Yes, he wants to feed you and nourish you and supply you. But my dear ones, it is yes to us, but it is for somebody. It is for those around us. It is for the sinners. It is for the seekers. It is for the saints. We're here to flow. We're not here just to drink, right? Even in that John 4, you know, what you drink will be in you, am I right? A fountain of living water gushing up, flowing unto eternal life. That is the New Jerusalem. Well, how does it happen? Well, through our speaking, through our life imparting, through our gospel preaching, through our laboring on other people. Oh, brothers, I think many of us are stuck, tell you the truth. We love the recovery. We're not going anywhere. We're here still carrying on. That's thank the Lord for that. That faithfulness. I really mean that. But that faithfulness is, that kind of faithfulness is not enough. We need another kind of faithfulness, and that is what? That is to let that water flow. You know, it is when we speak, when we impart, when we dispense, that we really find out what we have within us. The more you flow, the more you need to flow. The more you flow, the more you have more capacity to receive and drink. If you are stuck in your growth in life, if the enjoyment of Christ is plateaued, is not increasing, that's because you're not flowing. You and I are not flowing. So the need today is to clear the clog. Whatever is bottling us up, whatever is clogging us, We need to let it flow. We need to go to people and flow out this Christ to impart this life to bear a few spiritual children, as Paul did. Later on in Galatians, Paul said to these believers there that probably he begot in the first place, he said, I travail in the Lord again. That what? That Christ would be formed in you. So he's still struggling. He didn't just initially preach the gospel and get the people saved. He had continued to flow as a parent, as a spiritual father. And he travailed, you know, it's childbirth, travailing, right? Brothers and sisters, do you travail? I cannot live a life without travailing. By that, I don't mean suffering. By that, I mean travailing in birth, to give birth to others, to bring forth spiritual children, to give life to others, to dispense to others. On the one hand, I cannot live a day without drinking, without eating the Lord, the Word. On the other hand, neither can I live and go on if I don't flow out what I enjoy, what I have partaken of. Even just one day, I feel bloated, if you will. Yeah, forgive me for the word. I would feel just it should go somewhere. That is healthy. I hope the Lord would restore many of us from a lesser condition to a flowing condition. We are living on the earth to not just to drink, but to flow, to be those vessels, those life vessels to impart life. So it says here, you know, in verse 3, always in the Lord abiding as branches, fruit to bear. What is fruit bearing? It's when the branch, right, dispense life, flow out that life, and out comes the fruit. Out comes the fruit. And the branches are attached to the vine, or are one with the vine, to always receive that sap and flow, not just for itself, but for fruit. For fruit bearing. So we're not just a host, the biblical picture. Our branches, even more organic. Are we branches, brothers and sisters? Dear saint, are you a branch? Are you living as a branch that is not just enjoying the vine with all its riches, but bearing fruit at the right time? And if we are not, we're not normal. I know I've been saying this, I don't know how much, but we need to have a change personally in our church life, in the recovery, in our church culture. We cannot be just an enjoying group of people. We must be a drinking group of people. We must be a flowing group of people. We need both. Then we are normal. Verse 4, may our living be the preaching. Even our living should be a flowing, right? Making Christ to others known, not the word of doctrine preaching, but the seed of life be sown. Every time we give people a recovery version, every time we preach the gospel to people, every time we teach them the word of truth, every time we're there having appointments, or every time we're taking care of a young and new one to nourish, cherish, and nourish them, what are we doing, brothers and sisters? We are there, what? Sowing the seed of life We're there. That is in 1 Peter 1. Right away in 1 Peter 2, it talks about the desire of the pure milk of the word. So after we sow the seed of life, we have to dispense the milk of life, right? We not only have the blessing of the womb, we have the blessing of the breast, according to Genesis 49, to give life to people over and over again on a regular basis. This is the full church life. This is the full Christian life. Drink and flow. Drink and flow. All right? We're not talking about filling a stadium. We're not talking about doing some master campaign. Brothers, we're talking about being a normal branch, right? A normal channel. Day by day in our church life, where we are, friends, relatives, colleagues, just people, the saints. All right. I also just this morning just remember, and some of you can help me find out, that I know that there is a very powerful article or tract, whatever, by George Mueller. You know, George Mueller of Bristol, so-called the king of faith, right? The one who have many orphanages and as his prime ministry. This is in England in the 1800s. He is not what you would and I would call, you know, in a strict terms, an evangelist, all right? But he's always burdened for the gospel. He is burdened for the work of the missions in those times. If I remember correctly, he supported even Hudson Taylor, who is a contemporary, in his work in China, financially and obviously by prayer. Don't say I'm not an evangelist. I'm not that kind of bold gospel preacher. No, you may not be, but it is not about that. It is about your burden. It is about the clarity of our commission to be witnesses of Christ. We need this church life, brothers and sisters. Build up this your personal life this way. Build up this church life where you are as a normality, not as a once in a blue moon, go get them, you know, go put out some tables. As a normal life, brothers and sisters, we should be living in this way. All right. I think that's good for a long intro. Now, in this lesson on the groups, it is the same bird. I will tell you, if you catch this, you caught the bird. But the groups are important in the church in that these groups actually is the environment that sustains such living. All right? Such living. That individually and personally, we are a branch. And a group is just a bunch of branches together. You follow me? That's it. Doing the same thing. Why? Because there's not only one branch in a vine. There are many, many, many branches. It is something corporate, something collective. All right? So we have the groups, all right? So here it's a wonderful title, The Increase and Multiplication of the Groups. The groups, the practice of the small groups, the vital groups, the home groups, I don't care what you call them, is for increase and multiplication. it is not just, again, for us to come together and celebrate and enjoy each other, wonderful, these wonderful riches we have, and talk to one another, on and on. No, the groups exist for the increase of a locality, of a local church, and for the and for the spread of the Lord. It is for the multiplication. That's the word. The multiplication, so that one grain can be many grains like the Lord Jesus. All right? That's what the groups are for. Yes, the group is for us to be together, to have mutuality, to pray for one another, care for one another, shepherd one another. Absolutely so. Absolutely so. But even I would say, for what? Right? What is the ultimate purpose even of these groups? It is so that these groups, with these healthy branches, mutually caring for one another, even loving one another, in John 15, bears fruit, even remaining fruit, that the Father may be glorified. And that our joy, the branch's joy, may be full. So if the groups are not increasing, something is wrong. If the groups are not multiplying, something is amiss. Something is short. All right? So we're going to talk about that today. But there's some basic things here that is a kind of a summary of this matter of the practice of the groups that is important here. So let's dive in. In one, it says we need to realize that the knowledge of the truth and growth in life are for the increase and spread of the church. The knowledge of the truth and growth in life, as important as they are, I think probably no other Christian group places such emphasis on these two things: know the truth and grow in life. But even these things are not the purpose. You may say they are the means. What is the purpose? The purpose is the increase of this and spread of the church. Which church is the fullness of Christ? That means the increase and spread of Christ is the purpose. Is the purpose. It is not just for us to gather every Friday and have a good time, just, you know, fellowshipping with each other and eat together. We do those things. But do not forget the purpose of the groups. We say the groups are 80% of the church life. Yes, yes. And it is almost has a all-inclusive, universal function, the groups. You know, 80% of the church life. But what are the groups for? Over time, what should the groups look like? Well, there should be numeric growth. And there should be numeric increase. And that translates into the growth and increase of the church. You know, I jump ahead. You know, we practice migration, right? GTCA. you know, over the years, so many migrated, you know. This is our practice. This should be our culture. Why migrate? You may say, why migrate? Well, I came to the church. I'm home. I will be here till Jesus comes. Yes, on the one hand. But on the other hand, the Lord longs to spread. The Lord himself longs to grow. That vine wants to spread. Go over the walls. spread to the whole earth, to Europe, to other continents, and may I say, even this country have still so many places and localities and states and regions without this testimony of the Lord, where this truth is not told, this gospel of the kingdom is not preached. It should go to the whole inhabited earth. So we need to migrate. And some of us need to migrate. And you say, whoa, you're here to talk about groups. Now you talk about migrating. Yes. The same spirit. It is the same spirit. One is local, even local migration. How about that? You know, if you are in a big city like LA, it's huge. Like it's like a country. You need to migrate within LA to different parts of Los Angeles. It's so large, so many people, to have new halls, am I right? To have new districts. Recently, I'm very burdened for the Central Coast. It's a kind of another kind of no man's land. It's a place you drive through from LA to Bay Area and back. But do you know there are people there? In Central Valley, in Central Coast, there are important cities in this big state of California. Some need to migrate there, to move there, to practice the group church life. To what? To increase and to spread. Now, let me continue. A, the matter of increase is related to a church locally. When we use increase, we usually refer, not always, to a church locally. The church needs to increase. Your church should increase. It should not be the same number all the time. Well, if you say, praise the Lord, we didn't lose anybody. Well, I also say praise the Lord, but my praise the Lord would not be so loud. Sorry. Is to keep people there and not lose them our goal. Thank the Lord for it, for our preservation. No, hardly. We're here to add. We're here to grow. We're here to enlarge. We must increase, or he must increase. Am I right? He must increase. Where is the increase? You just check, if you want to check the pulse, do a health check of your church. One of the things to check is there increase? One of the factors, one of the metrics, if you will, is there increase? If there's no increase year in, year out, that church is, something is wrong. Something is not normal, okay? Whereas the matter of spread, the word spread, increase and spread, spread involves the churches spreading out. More churches from Judea to Samaria, right? And to the ends of the earth. The spreading, the Acts of the Apostle is a book not just of increase in Jerusalem or here or there, but of the spreading from Jerusalem to Samaria, to other parts of Judea. God wants to spread. The vine must spread, all right? The churches on earth should increase and the church on earth should spread. I love this phrase. The churches, plural, on the earth should increase. That means every local church should increase. And the church on earth, the universal church, looking on the earth, there is only one church. Am I right? Standing where you are in your locality, you are one of the churches. But zooming out, looking at the whole planet, the whole globe, there is only one church. The churches should increase. And the church on the earth, the church in Northern California, the church in Sac Valley. Am I right? The church around the bay. The church in California should spread. We need to spread to all parts of California. B, if we emphasize the increase and spread of the church, but disregard the believer's knowledge of the truth and growth in life, the result will be a great shortage. That famous book that we always recommend for us to read, it is the Four Pillars of the Recovery, right? The Four Pillars. What is it? What are the four pillars? It is what? Truth, am I right? Life, am I right? What else? Church, am I right? Gospel, I think so. Do you remember? This is 1985. It is a classic book. All those things we need to be a balanced recovery, to have a balanced church life. So we stress the knowledge of the truth. That's why we need to read the word. That's why we need to study the ministry. That's why we need to read the life studies. All of that is to what? Is so that we would know the truth and actually to know the truth fully. And to grow in life. Of course, we're here to grow in life, not just to be a saved believer waiting to go to heaven, but to grow in Christ, to growth with the growth of God. Right? This is God's economy. So we need that. We need that. Today, there are Christian institutions that are very much for the gospel. I'm for that. Missionaries, I'm for that. But there is a lack, a shortage, because there's not the balance of the knowledge of the truth and the growth in life. Right? Once we bring people to the Lord, they have to start to learn the truth and begin to grow. That great commission in Matthew 28, right? Go therefore and disciple the nations. And then after that, two things. Number one, baptizing them into the name of the triune God. Number two, teaching them whatever I have commanded you. Do you know that baptizing is in relation to life? It's not just that act of outward baptism, but we are, what it says in Corinthians, we are in one spirit. We've been baptized, right, into one body, and we are made to drink of the one spirit. That's for life. That's for life. To live in the reality of baptism, to live in the reality of this mystical union with the triune God, we have to drink. We have to remain underwater, so to speak, for life. And then the second thing is teaching them the things that the Lord has commanded to us. That's the apostles' teaching, the word of God. So that's for the knowledge of the truth. We need both to fully disciple the nations. How to disciple someone? By these two things, truth and life. Nevertheless, here in C it says, if we emphasize only the believer's knowledge of the truth and growth in life, but neglect the increase and spread of the church, we will greatly restrict the Lord. See the burden here? We need to be balanced. We need to be balanced. We can emphasize, you see, the truth and life, and we do emphasize that, rightly so. in the Lord's recovery. But we cannot, we must not neglect the increase and spread of the church. In fact, one is for the other. There's a cause and effect there between those things. Truth and life, or knowledge and growth, and on over here and over there, increase and spread. They are related, cause and effect. You know, when we have gained increase and when we spread, we know, my, that's the time we realize we need more truth. We need more life to feed the new ones. Am I right? To teach them. Isn't that wonderful? And that even by doing that, we actually increase our appetite. Again, going back to the water hose, it works both ways. The more you flow, the more appetite, the more you have capacity to receive more water. You see? And the flowing water is for what? For the flow of that life. You see the cause and effect there? Okay. D, we must be balanced. We need to know the truth more and to grow in life more. At the same time, we should also not neglect the increase and spread of the church. We must admit that we have greatly restricted the Lord. Every day I repent to the Lord, and even in my work, how much have I contributed, right, to the increase and spread, not just the knowledge and the growth. Let us not restrict the Lord. The Lord wants to flow. The triune God is just a flow. The Father in the Son as the Spirit through Christ's body and its members. The vine branches, right? Okay, Romans 2. The increase and spread of the church is the increase and spread of Christ. Don't we want to see Christ spread on the earth? Goodness, look at the war that is going on in the Middle East now. You know, it's 2 weeks. Serious things are happening on the earth. But there's no ultimate solution to the world's condition. Only the desire of the nations. Am I right? Only at the parousia of Christ will there be peace. Will there be final resolution? Today we're here to spread this Christ. To spread this Christ. And when the church is properly increasing and spreading, that is Christ increasing and spreading. Christ is the embodiment of God, but the church is the enlargement of Christ. If we don't increase, Christ is not increasing. If we don't spread, Christ cannot. A, in John 12:24, the Lord Jesus referred to himself as a grain of wheat. We all know this. As the only begotten Son of God, he was the one grain of wheat. B, when he went to the cross, he fell into the ground and died. Then in resurrection, he produced much fruit. That is, many grains as the multiplication of himself as the unique grain. Those chapters from 14, John 14, Gospel, to 17, are under a section called multiplication. The multiplication of God, of Christ. 14 on the Father's house, 15 on the universal vine, 16 on that man-child, and 17 on that great oneness. All these are the increase and spread of Christ. See, after passing through death, he entered Christ, the Lord Jesus, entered into resurrection to impart his divine life into those who believe into him, so that they could become many grains. Today, sitting here, brothers, we're all those many grains, from one grain to billions of grains, whatever that number is, billions of grains. And it is by grain after grain, grain, first the grain, and then the 120 or however many, and then to the 3,000, 5,000, and then on and on through the ages, right? The grains that are begotten by Christ fell again onto the earth to beget more and more grains. And together they would form the one bread. D. Individually speaking, these grains are individual believers. Collectively speaking, they are the one body of Christ, the church. So, can I say this? Every one of us is a singular grain to fall into the earth to bear more grains. But even every local church, your local church, should be a corporate grain in your locality to fall into the ground and die. What is migration? Migration is simply the spread of the seed blown by the wind, land in whatever place to bear, to grow a new tree, to bear fruit, to bear many grains. This is the Lord's longing. Romans 3, we need to see five important means of the church's increase and spread in Acts. This is very notable, very notable. And actually, it's very practical. But it is beautifully, beautifully summarized. Even this morning, as I was rereading this, I'm very, very helped. Very helped. How do we gain the increase? How do we spread? Number one, the first means is the economical spirit, the spirit of power descending on the lovers of the Lord. We need, in order to spread, in order to preach the gospel, in order to reach out, we need the economical spirit. We need the spirit internally to be filled in the spirit. We also need very much, even in a particular way, the outward clothing of the divine power, right? And that is simply the spirit of power, which happened a lot in Acts. They were in the room, and the wind blew, the mighty wind blew, and it says they were filled in the spirit. That filling is not just an inward filling. That filling in Greek is the, I believe, an outward filling, an outward clothing of power. Because to preach that gospel, they need the power descending on the Lord's lovers. I say today, the churches, the saints, very much need this aspect of the Spirit. And it is not hard to experience this aspect of the Spirit. I think we need some words, some fellowship, so the saints can focus on how to experience the economical spirit. All right? B, the second means is prayer, which is continue steadfastly. Clearly, we're not here to use gimmicks, right? We're not here to use human worldly means to gain people. We don't have rock bands. We don't have, you know, light shows. We don't have, I don't know, all kinds of things. We just have prayer. We pray. And prayer is more powerful than anything else. Prayer means we are wholly dependent on the Lord. Prayer is an admission that only God can do these things. Prayer means I'll trust in Him. Prayer means our joining ourselves to Him. Let's pray for the gospel. Let's pray to the Lord for the increase. See, you know, this the vital group, the first book of the vital group, book one, on the urgent fellowship concerning the vital groups, almost several chapters is just on prayer, plus the experience of the economical spirit tied together, put together. We pray ourselves into that spirit, pray ourselves to be filled by the spirit for the outreach for the gospel. The third means is God's word, which is Christ Himself. We don't have any other content. Our content is simply the word of God. So, dear saints, may I say, it is so wonderful that we have this New Testament recovery version to give out. It's just the word, and the word interpreted, the word understood. You don't know so much, you just open to anywhere, to a passage, to a verse, and go to a footnote and read that footnote with understanding, with insight, with burden and feeling. I tell you, the word is powerful. The word is power. Not only the Spirit is powerful, the word is authoritative, the word subdues, the word convicts, the word shines. Just read that word. I like to open up something right now because I want to put together the top 20 or 25 footnotes that the saints can use readily. And not this is not as easy as you think. Not from the Old Testament, just from the New Testament. Now, I know there's some long, classic footnotes, but they are too long, right? So I don't mean that. We need to find 25 top useful footnotes in our outreach. Some are for unbelievers. Some are for seekers. How about I challenge Northern California to help me? Okay? I think there are, what, maybe up to 300 people on this Zoom. How about you all try to come up, you know, you maybe between you all, you come up with 100, but to whittle down to 25, it's not easy. some that you have used and proven effective. You know what I'm saying? You know, one that we often use, it's even in a tract, it's Jesus in your boat. You know that one, right? That is very elementary, very basic, but nevertheless very touching. Is Jesus in your boat in this stormy sea, in this stormy world, in this place where there's no sense of safety and security? No. People are feeling that, brothers and sisters. They are. Where is the anchor to our soul? Where is that sense? Where is peace? There's a footnote for that. All right? So, I don't know. Brothers, maybe you can help. All right. Number four. The fourth means is the believer's homes. Our homes, our own homes. This is a practical means for God's increase and spread. This is not even just our group meeting. It is our home that we open to invite people eventually, to invite the new ones, to invite the sinners, people we know, people we're burdened for. And of course, when our group gather together. But I tell you, inviting people at the right time, you know, in the right way, to your home is a wonderful way to gain people. Remember Cornelius, huh? Acts 10? He gathered his friends, relatives, all that in his house, and invited Peter, right? The word was spoken and the spirit fell. And they represent the Gentile part of the body being baptized in the spirit. Use your home, brothers and sisters. I said, you know, open home, right? Open refrigerator, an open heart with an open Bible. How about that? I tell you, you got those four things, you got it, dear saints. They are powerful. They are powerful. Your home is open, your heart is open. Your refrigerator is open, or your oven, whatever it is. And your Bible, the word is open. E, the fifth means, is through living witnesses who are martyrs. I love this. Not just the four means above, but this fifth means is important. In order for God to have a way to propagate, we must have the spirit of a martyr, willing to sacrifice everything, offer everything, and even lose our lives to testify for Christ. Shall I say this, the missionary spirit is a spirit of a martyr who's ready to sacrifice even their lives for the testimony of Christ. When we have this kind of a spirit, it's impossible for the word not to spread. It's impossible for people not to be gained. You know, all the things, hardships and sufferings that the early missionaries have to face to open the door to a Gentile, heathen, godless nation. I mean, the stories, powerful stories of witnesses of the Lord, eventually pave the way for the Lord, for the Spirit to move across the whole earth. Now today, we may not go to another nation. We just go to another locality. We're just even in our own locality. The same spirit of a living witness is needed. We basically live for this. We breathe for this. We church for this. In Romans 5, we always do remember these five means. They're very practicable. They're not just, this is not just doctrines. They are practicable. Five, we also need to see that the group meetings are the base for the increase of the church. Now we come to the groups with the group meetings. They are the base for the increase of the church. In other words, if our church does not have groups like this, living groups, right? Vital groups, normal groups, our church would be without a base. I can testify to this in my church life. Let me just limit it just to Irvine here. Just really a testimony, because I'm involved, so I can testify. Without the building up of the such normal group life, there's no base. There's no container. There's no way to what? To have the increase. A, the meetings of the church in Acts occurred mainly from house to house, meaning the saints went from one house to another, house after house. That's Acts. That's the church life in Acts. It's a house-to-house church life. Paul, remember Paul in chapter 20? When he spoke to the Ephesian elders, you know, at the seashore, face-to-face for the last time, rehearsing his history with them, with Ephesus. He say, how I was with you, how I was with you for years, at least 3 years he was in Ephesus. How I did not, you know, how I serve among you with tears and humility, so on, and how I did not withhold the counsel of God from you when I both publicly. That means some kind of bigger gathering, right? And from house to house. Paul's work in building up the church in Ephesus is done personally himself from house to house. Today, our church life should be such, from house to house. Because in the house, There would be a couple. There would be saints. There would be a household, a family. It would be a place that can gather people. House to house. All right? We need to build up this house to house church life. There's a footnote in 2:46 Acts that says house to house means if there is a house, there is a place for the congregation of the saints. That means in every house, house after house means in every home, every house, there's the church life there. (Clears throat) B, the capacity of a house is always small. This is the reason that we refer to such meetings as small group meetings. So most of our groups take place in someone's house. This is right. This is the right way. For some of you who have not opened your home yet, I say open your home. This will sanctify your home, your family. See, from now on, we must pay our attention to recovering the practice of the small groups, the group church life. We must practice the small groups and actively seek to bring the small groups into function even more. Okay? Number one, our initial hope is that each group should not be too large in number. See, this is brotherly speaking. 12 is a good number. I'm sure he thought about the 12 disciples. It's a good number. The Lord was in a small group with his disciples. That's a small group. But if it reaches 15 to 16, it should be split into two groups. I remember this, and I try to help the saints to practice this. You know, some saints say, oh, my small group has 30 saints. Praise the Lord. I say, well, praise the Lord, but that's not a small group. That's a district. That's the size of many churches in this, in the Lord's recovery. That's too many people to be small. You need the small group, smaller number, to have mutuality, to have all the saints function, to be intimate and personal. All right? The word split is not very good, right? It's like division. No, it is to multiply into two groups from one. Two, the smaller the number of people, the more effective is the function of a small group. Don't be afraid to have a small group of 4 to 6 people. Don't despise that. That's a wonderful small number, just around a small apartment-sized dining table. You know, all the years, not now, but all the years, we always have a expandable table, you know, those kind you pull out and you put one, you know, expanding panel, and some you can pull even longer, put two to accommodate growth and increase. But even that is limited. So when you exceed that, you better think about multiplying your group. How about that? Lest it gets too big. When the group gets too big, it has an opposite effect. It will restrict and slow down the increase. It will restrict the mutuality. It will limit the kind of intimacy between the saints. All right? Three, once a small group has over 12 people, this is not me speaking, this is the ministry, it should be subdivided into two groups. This will stir up the heart, the spirit of the saints to spread the gospel among their relatives, friends, neighbors, classmates, and colleagues. I think, actually, now is a good time for us to take a break of 10 minutes or so. Is that okay, brothers?